Hello, this is Joe McGee. Welcome to our podcast. Make sure that you subscribe and please share the podcast with your friends. That is the number one way you can help us reaching people with God's love and healing. We love you guys. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Hey, everybody, it's Joe McGee. We're going through the Bible, Genesis to Revelation. Actually, we're taking it in the right order, chronological order. And so we've been talking about spiritual warfare. Now, you know, every time you read a book, you see that nobody wants to buy a book about spiritual warfare because we don't know anything about it and it doesn't mean anything to us. You know, I don't know about a real war. I love history. I taught history for 10 years. I love history, but I don't want some goofy thing. Well, it's not goofy. It's a very real thing. We're on an alien planet, the Bible says, 2 Corinthians 4:4. Satan is the temporary god of this planet. John 10:10, he kills, he steals, he destroys. That's why bad news is on every day on the television, bad news in the newspaper. Bad news sells, good news does not sell. And so we're in a war. Now, we've been promised victory, but we have to fight. And so we're supposed to fight. And if we don't have to fight, it's going to be a mess. And so what we've done, we picked up the four parts or the four weapons we have. Number one weapon, we have prayer. Jesus said, you have not because you ask not. Ask that your joy might be made full. So God responds to being asked. The thing is, you got to ask according to his will. God watches over his word to perform it, not whatever mess I'm in. God does not answer my mess. God answers his word. So I need to know what the word of God says about whatever, about a long life, divine health, a great marriage, good kids. What does the word say? Well, my seed will be mighty upon this planet. Wealth and riches will be in their house. What's the Bible say about marriage? He that finds a wife finds a good thing and finds favor from God. You know, you got to start praying and saying what God says, not what you're thinking. So we're talking about prayer. We're talking about praise. God loves to be thanked. God goes where he gets thanked. You know, when they're going out to face the army coming out of Israel or out of Jerusalem, they put the praisers out front. What are you going to do? Well, we're outnumbered, you know, like 10 to 1. But we're going to go because God told it to go. So we're going to do it. We're going to send the praise up. The worship team's going first. You know, I bet that day you wanted, man, I never should have volunteered to sing in the choir. So the singers go first. Well, the Bible says God inhabits praise. So by the time the Israeli army got out where the enemy was, all the enemy had killed themselves. They're all dead. Israel didn't have to fight. What'd you do? We just praised God all the way out. We sang to God all the way up the hill. We sang to God before we encountered the enemy. What happened? God showed up and did the fighting for us. It was amazing. So today we're going to talk about preaching and testimony, the other two weapons we have. We get to preach. And so preaching is powerful. So we're talking about the weapon of preaching. So 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. He says this, I solemnly urge you in the presence of God in Christ Jesus, who will someday judge the living and the dead when he comes to set up his kingdom. Verse 2, preach the word of God. Timothy's writing, I need you to preach the word of God. Be prepared whether the time is favorable or not. You're not looking for a good time. Doesn't matter what's a good time. Patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with good teaching. How do I encourage them? Good teaching. How do I rebuke them? With good teaching. How do I correct them? With good teaching. I am to preach the word of God. Be prepared. So, you know, Paul's son of the faith, we can supposed to preach the word of God. It's a weapon. I like this. The time's coming when people will no longer listen to sound, wholesome teaching, it said in 2 Timothy. They will follow their own desires. They will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. They will reject the truth, and they will chase after myths. Now, let's kind of try to summation. Let's give me a summary. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 through 4. 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 4. He's writing, I urge you in the presence of God, who will someday judge the living and the dead, when he comes to set up his kingdom, preach the word, be prepared. Verse 3, for the time's coming. Their time's coming when people no longer listen to sound teaching. Their time's coming when people will not listen to sound, wholesome teaching. The time's coming when people no longer listen. They'll follow their own desires. They'll look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. They will reject the truth, and they will chase after myths. Well, that's in the news every day. It's in your newspaper every day. It's on the TV every day. What's going on? The world's gone crazy. Well, Jesus said it's going to happen. Paul wrote about it. Timothy wrote about it. It's going to happen. Then we have Isaiah 55:11. It is the same with my word. I send it out, and it always produces fruit. God said, my word will accomplish all I want it to, and it will prosper wherever I send it. Now, he's talking about God's word, Isaiah 55:11. God's word. He said, I will send it out. It always produces fruit. It will accomplish all I want it to, and it will prosper everywhere I send it. What is the word of God? So as a believer, we need to be teaching the word of God and preaching the word of God. Jeremiah 23:29. Does not my word burn like fire, says the Lord? Is it not like a mighty hammer that smashes a rock to pieces? God said, my word's powerful. It burns, it smashes. It is a powerful weapon. It is the weapon of preaching. It is a preaching and teaching is a powerful weapon. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is alive and powerful. It's sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. What does the word of God? The word of God exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. It's the truth. The Bible says truth sets you free. So you got to get in the Bible and meditate on the truth. Acts 19:8-10. Acts 19:8-10. Paul's ministering in Ephesus. Then Paul went to the synagogue and preached boldly for the next 3 months, arguing persuasively about the kingdom of God. Now, he's not just preaching. It's a weapon. It's a weapon. He's not just preaching. He's also arguing persuasively. You can't just share a sweet little story. He's arguing persuasively about the kingdom of God. But some became stubborn, rejecting his message and publicly speaking against the way. So what did Paul do? Well, he left the synagogue. You don't like what I got to say? I left the synagogue, and he took the believers with him that had been born again, those that did believe him. Then he held daily discussions at the lecture hall in Tyrannus. What are you doing? Well, I'll find a public place. You don't want to listen to you in a holy building? I'll find a public place. This went on for the next 2 years so that people throughout the province of Asia, both Jews and Greeks, heard the word of the Lord. Well, how did they hear the word of the Lord? Well, somebody had to teach it and preach it. What's going on, Paul? Paul's making it happen. Then Acts 19:11. Acts 19:11. God gave Paul the power to perform unusual miracles. Man, a crowd showed up. Why? Because if Paul's going to preach, something's going to happen. If Paul preaches, it's not just preaching. It's also it's a weapon. It is a weapon of God. Preaching's a weapon. So Acts 19:17-19. The story of what happened spread quickly all throughout Ephesus, to Jews and Greeks alike. A solemn fear descended on the city, and the name of the Lord Jesus was greatly honored. Many who became believers confessed their sinful practices. A number of them had been practicing sorcery, brought their incantation books, and burned them at a public bonfire. The value of the books they brought to be burned was several million dollars. This is in Paul's day. How many books, messed up, demonic stupidity they've been reading and practicing, they burned? The value of the books was several million dollars. Well, the bookstore profits dropped in a hurry, I guarantee you. Why? A solemn fear descended on the city, and the name of the Lord Jesus was greatly honored. Well, somebody had to preach. If nobody preaches, a solemn fear is not going to descend. The name of the Lord Jesus is not going to be honored. It's not going to happen. Then Acts 19:20. So the message about the Lord spread widely and had a powerful effect. Acts 19:20. The message about the Lord, that they're preaching. What did the preaching message? Well, it spread widely and had a powerful effect. Preaching spread quickly and had a powerful effect. Preaching spread quickly and had a powerful effect. So, you don't only have prayer, you got praise, but you got preaching. Well, then the fourth thing is testimony. I remember every Sunday night at church that we'd have testimony night. Well, we're gonna have testimonies night. Anybody have a testimony? And somebody stand up, sister so-and-so, and brother, hey, I got a testimony. Now, most of it was really good. You get something strange every now and then, but most of it was really, really good. So testimony. So Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 says this. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you'll be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere. In Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Well, where are you going to give your testimony? Well, I'm going to give testimony in Jerusalem. I'm going to give testimony in Judea. I'm going to give testimony in Samaria. And eventually, I'll give testimony to the ends of the earth. It's going to spread. It's a weapon. It's a war, and it's a weapon. And it's going to spread to the ends of the earth. Revelation 12, verse 7. Revelation 12, verse 7. Then there was a war in heaven. Michael's angels fought against the dragon and his angels. And the dragon lost the battle. He and his angels were forced out of heaven. This great dragon, the ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, the one deceiving the whole world, was thrown down to the earth with all of his angels. Verse 10, then I heard a loud voice shouting across the heavens, it has come at last, salvation and power in the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters has been thrown down to earth, the one who accused them before God day and night. And they have defeated him by the blood of the Lamb and by their testimony. They defeated him. They defeated the devil. Christians defeated the devil by the blood of the Lamb and by their testimony. And they did not love their lives so much that they were afraid to die. They defeated the devil by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26. 1 Corinthians 11, 26. Every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you're announcing the Lord's death until he comes. He's talking about communion. I believe in communion. Man, y'all take communion on a regular basis, at least once a week. At home, you don't have to wait to go to church. Keep some bread and some juice at the house. I used to gather my family together. I had six kids. Hey, guys, come here. We're going to take communion. What for? Well, it's just good to do it. And so grab your bread and your juice. This bread is the broken body of Jesus who died on the cross for us. This is the juice, the shed blood that was shed for our sins. Then God raised from the dead. He's at the right hand of the Father praying for us right now. So we're going to honor the sacrifice he made by going to the cross, paying for our sin, and taking our place. He didn't deserve to die, but we did. But he took our place. We're honoring him in his memory by taking communion. So, man, it's a powerful thing to do. Ephesians 1, verse 7. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his Son and forgave our sins. What happened? Well, he purchased our freedom with the blood of his Son and forgave our sins. How did he forgive our sins? We believed in the blood. 1 John 1, 7. But if we are living in the light as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. I mean, every time somebody give a testimony, man, I just appreciate the blood of Jesus. I just appreciate the blood of the Lamb. Well, I plead the blood of Jesus, and I plead the blood of the Lamb. Well, I was going through this, but I just pled the blood. We were going through a hard time, but, man, we just pled the blood. What do you mean? I mean, you be in church, people giving testimony. They're pleading the blood all the time. I had no idea. What do you plead the blood, throw the blood? You put it on your doorpost? I don't understand. I mean, I saw the Ten Commandments. Is that what you're doing? No. You remind the devil, no, I've been bought with the blood of Jesus. I've been paid for. I've been bought with a price. I'm clean before God. I can run boldly to the throne of grace, get mercy, help in time of need because of the blood of Jesus. I can run boldly to the throne of grace to get mercy, help in time of need. Romans 5:9. And since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation. You worried about God? No, I love God. I've been made right in God's sight. By what? Jesus shed blood. It's a testimony. People give it all the time. Hebrews 13:12. So also Jesus suffered and died outside the city gates to make his people holy by means of his own blood. So I'd heard those Sunday night testimonies. There would be so much. Man, I appreciate the blood of Jesus. And for years, I never understood it. I just knew it was important. What do you know about this blood thing? Well, I don't know. Everybody's giving testimony. They're testifying that the blood saved them. They're testifying that the blood healed them. They're testifying that the blood renewed their marriage. They're testifying that the blood got them a better job. Well, what's this blood thing? Well, you sell it in a jar? Can you get it at Walmart? Is it on the shelf? No, it's already been shed. It's your faith in it. Then Romans 12:11. said they defeated the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. They did what? Defeated the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. What are you doing? Well, I realized something. I now walk in victory. I now have a success. I still have to fight. All Christians have to fight. You have to resist the devil. And so that's what we do. And so we talk about what happened. Well, you got four things going on. You're going to pray because God listens to prayer. You need to pray the word of God, no, not what you're going through. God watch over his word, so pray the word. Then God will have his praise. You need to thank God. Every day you get up, first thing you do in the morning, I remember a great old preacher in Australia one time said the first thing he did in the morning, his feet hit the floor, he started dancing and thanking God. With all the morning breath he could muster, I just start, Father, I want to thank you. This is the day you have made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. You're going to order my steps and direct my paths. You're going to guide me into all truth. You're going to show me things to come. You're going to surround me with divine favor. Father, I just want to take a minute and thank you. Before I ever shave, before I shower, before I brush my teeth, I want to take a minute and thank you for God and have his praise. So the first thing you want to do every morning is get God to show up. So how does he show up? Start thanking him, and that's how he shows up. So pray. So prayer, praise, preaching. Share some scripture. Memorize a scripture. Memorize a verse a week. I used to tell my kids, add 3 by 5 cards. I'd make them memorize one verse a week. I mean, well, read this chapter or whatever. No, I'm not going to overdo it. I'm going to give you one verse on a 3 by 5 card. You have until this time next week to memorize this one verse. And so, you know, it's not that hard. And so we're not putting pressure on you. You're going to be embarrassed if you don't do it. So you want to get your face in the word of God and in the scripture. And so testimony. Testimony is a weapon. Share what God's done. Like I said, Paul was brought before King Agrippa, and all he did was gave testimony. Paul, that wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, spoke Greek and Hebrew, a teacher's teacher, knew the scripture frontwards and backwards. But when brought before King Agrippa, the Bible said all he did was gave his testimony. During his giving of his testimony, because they're trying to imprison him, wanting to kill him, all he did was give his testimony. King Agrippa began to yell at Paul, "Paul, shut up, shut up. You're about to convert me." Through what? His testimony. So four things: prayer, praise, preaching, testimony. Let's get busy doing what God created us to do. Let's live the life he wanted us to live. God bless, guys. Thanks for listening today. Tune in next time. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. It's got a great future for you and your family. We're here to help you get there. Please make sure you visit Joe McGee Ministries on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. There you find all of our Friday funny videos and other encouraging resources for you and your family. While you're at it, be sure to visit joemcgee.com. We have all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.